Quinnell, reel 9.
So rifle inspection, and what would happen after
Well,
that?
Then there was always some digging to be done. You see, the trenches, especially in wet weather, the sides were always giving way. And you would find that perhaps during the night a side of the trench had come in. Well, that trench had to be built up with sandbags, filled with earth, and then built up. There was always a repair job to be done. There was always perhaps the support trench needed repair. By the way, generally, when a battalion was in line, there was generally two or three companies in line and one battalion in support.
During the course of the day, breakfast was over and things had settled down. During the course of the day, what was the proportion of time spent with actual duties to carry out, and what proportion of the time were you just sort of waiting for something to happen?
Now, there was always various jobs to be done, and at this time, this would be about in June, every company had snipers. Now, we were always bothered that the German snipers were very, very good indeed, and they must have had telescopic sights because their accuracy was something to marvel at. Four men out of each company were sent to a sniper school, where they were learned, where they were taught.
Could I just interrupt you a sec? Yeah. Sorry. But when we talked before, one thing which you emphasised was that in the trenches it was a question of 5% of the time fighting and 95% of the time just waiting.
Yeah.
So when I asked you this question about, you know, how much time was there when you were just waiting around, I was really getting at this. And beyond this, I wondered, you know, those hours when you didn't actually have jobs to do, whether there were many of such hours and how you occupied them.
It was very much an irregular business, this rest time. A soldier, after a few weeks, he could curl up and he'd be asleep in 2 minutes. And that's what happened. If nobody came for you to do a job, you simply down to it and you were asleep. Be it daytime, any time of the day. But, you see, there was so many jobs to be done. Trench mortars were coming into fashion now. The Germans had them long before we did. But our people had got busy and they had invented various trench mortars. And trench mortar emplacements had to be dug. And then when they were dug, they had to have a dugout for their store. And then there would be the trench mortars to be carried up. A party would go out of the line and bring back a load of trench mortars.
How would you contrast the period during the middle part of the day, say after breakfast to supper, as compared with the period from dusk to dawn? What was the difference from the point of view of activity?
There was more sleep going on in the daytime. You see, you reversed the order of your usual living. There was more sleep going on in the daytime than at night time. Night time was the period of activity. There was always something to do at night time. There was the ration party. There was the water party. There was a wiring party. There was the lifting post. There were patrols. You see, the period of activity started as soon as it got dark.
It would start after
stand down.
After stand down. Okay. Now we dealt with the meals and we got up to supper time. Was evening stand two exactly the same as morning stand?
Exactly.
It was. And after evening stand two, you would then become very much more busy.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the sort of things you did during this busy period of the day. You've mentioned patrols.
Yeah.
How frequent were they, and how were they organised?
They were generally sent out. The word would generally an officer would want to know. He would receive orders, and his orders would be, where is the wire thickest opposite your company, and or is there any sign of activity on your company's front? Now, the patrol usually consisted of, we found that the smaller the patrol was, the more manageable it was. And so instead of when we first sent out patrols, an officer would go out with 6-8 men, we found that 3 men was the ideal size. They now, at night time, if there was any suspicion of activity, very lights would go up. Now, each platoon sergeant had a very light pistol, and he also had his cartridges. And if any sentry reported any activity in front, the sergeant would send a very light up. He put this pistol, this like a starting pistol. Have you seen one, the brass thing?
Yes.
And you put that on your sandbag and cant it what angle you think where you want the light to drop, and you plop, and that would go up in the air and light.
Can I take you back to the patrols? There was one other question.
Yeah.
The purpose of these patrols was to get information of one kind or another.
Yes.
Do you remember any particular patrols that you did during this period? Any stand out in your mind?
Yes. We had a very, very keen officer by the name of Van Someren. It was a Dutch name, but he was English all right. A very, very brave man he was. And I used to hate going out on patrol with him because he would walk straight out across no man's land, straight up to the barbed wire, standing up all the time, and he would take a pair of snips with him and he'd take a sample, the Germans putting away at him, and bring back the sample, and he would walk away, and he expected you to do the same. I used to hate him.
Any other patrols you remember?
Yes. During the Battle of Loos, now, Loos, which was to follow in the September, started on the 25th of September 1915, Loos was what is known as a soldiers' battle. There was very, very little shell fire. It was a surprise attack, and General French broke right through his armies, broke right through the German three lines. Mm. Now, when I say a soldiers' battle, there was very, very little shell fire, and it was by, the Germans used to send out patrols to see where we were, we used to send patrols to see where they were, and there'd be a short skirmish, a few shots fired, and they would bolt, or we would run back to our lines. And it was great fun.
Now, we were talking about the main kinds of duties, and you mentioned the patrols. Wiring parties was another one that occurred fairly often.
Yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, now, wiring was done always at dark, and it was done by a party who had been trained. It sounds peculiar, I know, but there was a certain amount of waltzing in it. And the two men, now wiring used to come on a wooden framework and the hole through the centre, and a pole used to be put through that framework, one man on either side. The man who did the actual wiring was always issued with a pair of very thick leather gloves, because the barbed wire can be very, very vicious. The In the spring of 1915, all the wiring was done on poles which were driven into the ground. And the various methods were tried to deaden the sound, because, as you know, sound travels very acutely in the still of the night. And we used to muffle the great wooden moles, mallets, which we drove the pegs into the ground. But later on, iron screw pegs, which were very much more satisfactory, were screwed into the ground. Now, wiring had to be done 50 yards in front of the front line, because a man could throw a bomb 40 yards, but he couldn't throw a bomb 50 yards. Well, the wiring party would be told off, and they would collect. That was another fatigue that was done overnight. Go to a barbed wire dump behind the line and carry barbed wire up, and then the wiring party would be told off to go wiring that night in front of whichever company had been selected. And their covering party of infantry would be put out in front of them, about 30 or 40 yards in front of them. And they would lie down facing the Germans in case the Germans came poking their nose in where they weren't wanted. Then the wiring party would go out, and they would start from one peg, then walk along to the next peg, round that peg, and the man with the leather gloves would pull the wire taut, and you would start with 6 inches from the bottom. And you go walk up to the next peg. Then these chaps on the poles on which the barbed wire was suspended would waltz round that next post, and then they'd walk back to the first post, and the man with the leather gloves would pull that taut round that post and follow the men round, and then the next strand of wire would be a foot from the ground. And so every 6 inches the wire would build up until it was about 3 feet in height.
And did each team just work between two posts?
Yes.
They wouldn't complete the work between two posts and then move down to the next post?
Yes, it used to vary sometimes. Sometimes it was, you see, what had happened, there was during the day, a shell had come over and broken perhaps a salvo of shells, and broken quite a lot of wire down. It might have broken down two sections, it might have broken down three, or might have only broken down one. It was to repair the damage done by shell fire during the day.
I see, fine. Now, you've already said that another regular duty you had was manning listening posts.
Yes.
What were listening posts, and what was your work in them?
Now, listening posts were a shallow trench would be dug from the front line out into no man's land, beyond our wire, about 50 yards beyond our wire, therefore it would be about 100 yards in front. Now, there was no specified length as to what that distance of that listening post from the front line should be, depended on how far what distance the two opposing lines of trenches were.
I see.
It might only be 50 yards long, it might be 100 yards long, it might be longer still. It depends. There were parts of the line where we were 80 yards apart, there were parts of the line where we were 500 yards apart. So the listening posts would vary, you see. The listening party would consist of a corporal and two men. And their job was to just lay in this listening post with their head above the above ground level and just watch and listen. And if they, for example, if they heard any barbed wiring going on or a patrol, they would return to the line and report it, and we'd open fire on this, wherever this activity was.
Did anything of any interest ever occur while you were on this duty at listening post?
No.
Mm-hmm, I see. The listening posts, I assume, were
fairly conventional dugouts.
But
listening posts were just like a dugout, were they?
No. No.
What were
just
they like?
Plain trench with a little T-piece at the top.
I see.
Just a shallow trench.
And what sort of equipment did you have?
No special equipment.
I see. So if you wanted to send messages back, you would send it by
runner?
Send
them in, yes, by runner.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's patrol...